gobblers. He had calculated that blowing 30 of the cables would be enough to do the job, but he'd gone for the 50 as an extra precaution. Okay, we got 50 and we're all set. He looked up at the two Asian pilots still wearing those cool dark shades. The nanomachines are in place. Good. All the EVA guys are back inside? That is not your responsibility. Zack felt the pilot was being snotty. Okay, he said. If any of them get eaten by the bugs, you write the condolence letters. Stop the nanomachines working, the pilot said, without turning to look at Zack. They are working. Very well. Shouldn't we disconnect from the dock now? No, not yet. The collapse. Zack thought it was a little weird to stay connected to the tower's geostationary docking tunnel while the nanomachines were chewing away at the cables, but he figured the pilot knew what he was doing. The bugs won't get the chance to damage the clipper ship. We'll disconnect before we're in any danger, he was pretty certain. Besides, these two black-goggled pilots aren't going to kill themselves, Zack further assured himself, not knowingly. Outside the ship, there was no sound, no vibration, nothing. For the first time, the pilot turned in his seat and lifted his glasses to stare directly at Zack. Well, have you done it? Yeah, Zack replied, feeling nettled. It's done. Now get us the hell out of here before the upper half of the tower starts spinning off to Alpha Centauri. That won't be necessary, said the pilot. In the geostationary operations center, Emerson felt a slight tremor, a barely sensed vibration as if a subway train had passed below the floor he stood on. What was that? He wondered aloud. His assistant's voice responded. Yeah, I felt it too. Tremors and vibrations were not good. In all the hours he'd spent in the tower at its various levels, it had always been as solid and unmoving as a mountain. What the hell could cause it to shake? Whatever it was, his assistant said, it stopped. But Emerson was busy flicking his fingers along his keyboard, checking the safety program. No leaks, no loss of air pressure, electrical systems in the green, power systems functioning normally, structural integrity. His eyes goggled at the screen. Red lights cluttered the screen. 50 of the 120 main cables had been severed. For long moments he could not speak, could hardly breathe. His brain refused to function. 50 cables. We're going to die. As he stared at the screen's display, another cable tore loose, and another. He could feel the deck beneath his feet shuddering. Hey, what's going on? One of the technicians yelled from across the chamber. Let's do it. Pell-mell, Emerson whispered, more to himself than anyone who might hear him. If not to heaven, then hand in hand to hell. Bracknell was standing by the ceiling-high window at the Quito Airport terminal gate, waiting for the clipper ship for Paris to begin boarding. It sat out on its blast-scarred concrete pad, a squat cone constructed of diamond panels manufactured by Lunar Nanomachines at Cellini. They can use nanomachines up there, but we can't hear, Bracknell thought. Well, we've gotten around that stupid law. Once we get the patent... A flash of light caught his eye. It was bright, brilliant even, but so quick that he wasn't certain if he'd actually seen anything real, like a bolt of lightning. It seemed to come from the sky tower, standing straight and slim, rising from the mountains and through the white clouds that swept over their peaks. Lara came up beside him, complaining, "They can fly from Quito to Paris in less than an hour, but it takes longer than that to board the clipper." Bracknell smiled at her. Patience is a virtue, as Reverend Danvers would say. I don't care. I'm getting... Her words broke off. She was staring at the sky tower. Vance, look! He saw it too. The tower was no longer a straight line bisecting the sky. It seemed to be rippling, like a rope that is flicked back and forth at one end. His mind racing, Bracknell stared at the tower. It can't fall. It can't. But if it does... He grabbed Lara around the shoulders and began running, dragging her away from the big windows. "Get away from the windows," he bellowed. "Quitarse las ventanas! Run! Vamos!" "Nothing is happening," said the pilot accusingly. "Yes, it is," Zack answered. He was getting tired of the Asian's stupidity. These guys are supposed to be patient. Didn't anybody ever give them Zen lessons? "Give it a few minutes. Those cables are popping one by one. And the more that snap, the faster the rest of them go." "I see nothing," insisted the pilot, pointing toward the cockpit window. "Maybe if you took off those flicking glasses, you could see better, creep," Zack grumbled silently. Aloud, he snapped, "You're going to see plenty in 2-3 minutes. Now get us the flick out of here, or else we're going to go flipping out into deep space." "So you say." A blinding flash of light seared Zack's eyes. He heard both pilots shriek. "What the fuck was that?" Zack wondered, pawing at his eyes. Through burning tears, he saw the clipper ship's cockpit blurred, darkened, everything tinged in red. Rubbing his eyes again, Zack squinted down at his laptop. The screen was dark, dead. Then he realized that both pilots were jabbering in their Asian language. "What happened?" he screeched. "Electrical discharge." The pilot's voice sounded edgy for the first time. "An enormous electrical discharge." "Even though we expected it," said the co-pilot, "it was a hell of a jolt." "Are we okay?" Zack demanded. "Checking." "Get us out of here," Zack screamed. "All systems are down," the co-pilot said. "Complete power failure. Do something. There is nothing to be done." "But we'll die." "Of course." Zack began blubbering, babbling incoherently at these two lunatics. Removing his glasses and rubbing at his burning eyes, the pilot turned to his co-pilot and said in Japanese, "The American genius doesn't want to be a martyr." The co-pilot's lean face was sheened with perspiration. No one told him he would be. Will that affect his next life, I wonder? Will he be reborn as another human being, or something less? A cockroach, perhaps. He doesn't believe in reincarnation. He doesn't believe in anything except destruction and his own ego. The pilot said, "In that case, he has succeeded admirably. He has destroyed his own ego." Neither man laughed. They sat strapped into their seats, awaiting their fate with tense resignation, while Zack screamed at them to no avail.
The massive electrical discharge released when some of the Sky Tower's insulating panels were eaten away completed the destruction of the connectors that held the tower's two segments together at the geostationary level. Although buckyball fibers are lighter in weight than any material that is even half their tensile strength, a structure of more than 35,000 kilometers length weighs millions of metric tons. The Sky Tower wavered as it tore loose from the geostationary platform, disconnected from the centrifugal force that had pulled it taut. One end suddenly free of its mooring, its other end still tethered to the ground, the lower half of the tower staggered like a prize fighter suddenly struck by a knockout blow. Then began its long, slow-motion, catastrophic collapse. The upper end of the tower, equally as long as the lower, was also suddenly released from the force that held it taut. It reacted to the inertia that made it spin around the Earth each 24 hours. It continued to spin. But now free of its anchor, it swung slowly, inexorably, unstoppably away from Earth and into the black, silent depths of space.
In the geostationary ops center, Emerson saw every damn screen suddenly go dark. His control panel went dead. He felt himself sliding out of his foot restraints and sailing in slow motion across the operations center, while the technicians who had been working on installing the new equipment were yanked to the ends of their tethers, hanging in midair, more shocked and surprised than frightened. "What the shit is going on, Waldo?" one of them hollered. He banged his shoulder painfully against the wall and slid to the floor. Soon enough, he knew the immense structure would swing around, and we'll all be slung in the opposite direction. "Waldo, what the fuck's happening?" he heard panic creeping into their voices now. "We're dead," he knew. "There's not a thing that anybody can do. Nor all thy tears wash out a word of it." Waldo, what's going on? They were